Hey Thomas Jefferson, I'm Shayna St. Fard.
And I'm Farah DeJama.
From the TJ Journal. Farah and I are both in the newspaper class at Thomas Jefferson. In our classes, one of our peers asked, is it offensive to say black? Which raised a long-standing question between the terminology of black and African American.
The main reason why clarifications between black and African American were made is because not everybody is from Africa who is black in America. For me, I'm Haitian American, which makes me black and American, but not African American.
During this conversation, Farah recognized a lot of similarities between the black community and Arabs.
So why does it matter? Today I'm going to be talking to Farah about labels in the US, ranging from African American, black, and Arab. These labels represent some and leave out others. So Farah, tell me a little about yourself.
So, of course, you all know my name is Farah. I am Algerian American, so I was born in the United States, and both of my parents actually are from Algeria. Even though my parents are from the same country and they are from the same ethnic group, they look very different. My mother has a very pale complexion and she has very, I guess you could say, European features, while my father has a darker complexion and has more Middle Eastern features.
Mm-hmm. And they're both Arab, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean to be Arab?
So to be Arab is really more of an ethnicity rather than a race.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's really more of like an ethno-linguistic identity. So that would mean that the culture would have Arabic as its main language.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this would include Saudi Arabia, this would include Syria, Iraq, Somalia, Sudan, Morocco, Algeria.
Arab has really been defined as a person, usually from the Middle East. I think of women usually wearing hijab, or someone who's Muslim. Clearly, that isn't all there is to Arabs. So what do you think caused this generalization of Arabs in the U.S.?
I'd totally say that it is because of xenophobia. 9/11 happened. Of course, people were shifting the blame from the specific terrorist group that caused it to the entire population of the region. There was an increase of hate crimes, and a lot of Arab Americans were targeted, but also a lot of non-Arab Americans were targeted. So Indian Americans were targeted, Sikh Americans, so Sikh is a religion in South Asia, and men usually wear turbans, and so people would confuse them with being Muslim, and they would unfortunately get attacked. It kind of had this domino effect where not only would it affect Arab Americans and Muslim Arab Americans, but it would also affect South Asian Americans more broadly.
So even though a lot of people who were Arab or weren't Arab, they just looked the same, they were all generalized into a group of people who were terrorists and were experiencing hate crimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you said that your mom has more Eurocentric features and might benefit from white privilege, but given that she's a hijabi, it's pretty obvious that she's Muslim. How are being Muslim and being Arab really tied together?
So a lot of people have the assumption that, if I see a Muslim woman walking down the street and she has a hijab,
mm-hmm.
because she is Muslim, I would assume that she would be Arab. When in reality, Islam is a religion that is spread all throughout the world, and the largest Muslim countries aren't in the Middle East, they're actually in Southeast Asia.
Oh.
So Indonesia and Malaysia. They're also left out of the conversation.
Yeah.
Because people would assume, you're Muslim, therefore you are Arab, therefore you are from the Middle East, therefore you speak Arabic, therefore all these assumptions and generalizations.
And there's actually a huge presence in the black community of people who are Muslim. Like Malcolm X was here, he went to Mecca and really expanded that, and so we see kind of an intersection of mistakenly believing that African Americans are Arabic because they practice Islam. African American really implies a lot of history, the history of slavery. If you're black, period, if your skin fits a certain color, then you will be treated a certain way.
And it seems like the same pattern of treatment only based on skin and generalizations made is exactly what Arab Americans are going through. Which brings us back to the conversation we were having in class. It's not offensive to say black, it's just a more general term. It includes more people. But it reminds me of something you were saying in class, about how your father, when he came to the United States, had to fill out a census and say that he was white.
According to the US Census, people who are from North Africa and the Middle East are classified as white. And I remember it very vividly with the 2020 census. My father was filling out, you know, the census, putting in all of our information. And then when he got to his classification of race, he put white. And my father isn't white.
Mm-hmm.
For my mother is white passing, right? So when people just look at her face, she has, I guess, what you would consider European features. But she is also Muslim, and she's visibly Muslim, and she wears hijab, right? So even though technically she is white passing, she does not experience that privilege. But because of how the United States government has classified us, we essentially technically have to put white on our forms, because that's technically the correct, quote unquote, classification for us.
So there are obviously a lot of generalizations that come with terms like Black, Arab, and even Latino. So do you see any benefits for communities, or do you wish some people would be more represented?
Within the generalizations, every like specific group deserves equal representation. Arab goes from North Africa into the Middle East, and Black, you know, is all over the world. The Arab community, even though like my family really stays with the specific Algerian community,
mm-hmm.
we still have that sense of like family with other people from Arabic speaking countries.
Yeah.
Because we kind of have to like stick together. We're miles away from home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's best to have some sort of familiarity, even if they are not with, even if they aren't from the same country as we are.
Yeah.
And simply just being a similar ethnic group or speaking a similar language to us. I feel like that's really important, especially with how Arab Americans have been targeted for the past like 20 years. So
yeah,
we gotta stick together.
Yeah, that's completely similar to how slavery worked. People from different countries all over Africa were just kind of thrown together and assumed as one, and they lost a lot of identity. But because they were really treated the same, they found a lot of community in each other, in seeing people like them, even if they were from different backgrounds. So Farah, thank you so much for coming and talking to me today.
Of course, yeah, I feel like this is an important story to share. And of course, like as we made the connections today between the Arab and Black communities in the United States, we're able to like, I guess, find connection with each other and like all that fun stuff, because this is what I guess being American is all about, so.
Yeah. For years, many minorities feel like they've been checking off the wrong bubble, whether it be because they're Arab and have to say they're white, or because they're Caribbean American but they prefer the term Black. No matter what, each of these labels have a history, and I'm glad you could be here today and learn with us. Thank you, TJ, and we hope to see you again soon.